4. We're in one of these rare Sundays in our church where we're actually not in any kind of series or in any kind of set thing that we had planned out. And so this is a Sunday where anything goes. So, whoa. Like, things like that go. We want to read just two scriptures to start, and then we're going to launch into this. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. He also said, he being Jesus, anytime Jesus is talking, we should listen. Amen? Four of us believe that Jesus' words are important. Great. Awesome. He said, Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Let's read that again. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or whether he gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he doesn't know how. If you're taking notes, we don't have notes written out for you in the bulletin, but the topic title for this morning's message is Throw and Grow. So if you're taking notes, you can just write that at the top. Throw and grow. Let's pray, ask God to help us. Lord, thank you so much for being you. We couldn't ask for a better Savior, a better Redeemer, a better Healer, a better Friend. God, you are everything we need. We love you, God. We thank you that we can come together in your house. We love the church. We love not the building, but we love the body. We love each other. And God, I just pray that love would just be massive in the house today. In Jesus' mighty name. We pray, God, that you would open up our ears. God, let something supernatural happen this morning. Let people not hear the words of a man, but Lord, let people hear the words of God. Let our ears be open wide to hear what you want us to hear in Jesus' mighty name. And when we hear it, God, let us be transformed. Your word says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word. So we're excited, God, today for the increase of faith that we're going to encounter in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Just as a heads up, the Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please God, and that faith really is the currency of heaven. Everything, you're saved by faith, everything comes, it's by faith, by faith, by faith. And if faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word, then this morning you have opportunity to get some currency. You have an opportunity to have some faith. That could be used. Maybe you're going to need faith this week. I don't know. Maybe there's going to be a situation where you're going to need faith. So for that reason alone, I would encourage you to sit on the edge of your seat and listen for what God might say to you. Because when God speaks, how many know when God speaks, it's awesome. When God speaks, it's powerful. It's miraculous. It'll change your life. It'll mess you up. If you would just allow God to speak to you. Lord, let me hear you this morning. Amen. Have you ever been a part of a group project? Have you ever been a part of a team where the goal of the team was really dependent on all the team coming together and really pulling their weight and doing their part? I remember, and I think all of us could identify with this a little bit, that in high school or in college or university or junior high, at some point we've all been a part of the group project. And the teachers kind of numbered us off and said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now all the ones go to that corner, all the twos go to this corner, all the threes go to this corner, and all the fours go to this corner. And you're number four, and you're over in the four corner, and you're with people that you have no idea, you don't know them, and then you're asked to do this group project together. And then, you know, you need different components, right? You need a leader. You need someone to say, do this. Well, the delegator, or you need someone bossy is what you really need. You need someone who's going to be a presenter, right? Someone who's going to present the data and present the research. You need someone who's going to be the secretary and record everything and write everything down. You need different people to do different roles and to do different tasks. And usually, not always in every single group, but definitely in one of the groups, in one of the classrooms, there is one person, usually a boy, who believes this. I can get through this group project and I don't have to do a thing. You're laughing because you were him. And you got that grade. And your report card says A. And you know you did nothing. People are being convicted right now. This is great. And usually what happens is the leader, the bossy one, the bold one, kind of will get mad or lose it or kind of get upset and say, listen, if you got to start pulling your weight, you are a part of this group, you haven't done a thing, you haven't done anything to contribute to this group, you're not pulling your weight, you better ship up right now. And you're just sitting there and you're like, can you pass me the popcorn? This is good. This is reality TV show way before, you know, reality TV show. And so we believe that if you're a part of a team, all the members of that team should contribute equally, right? We believe that if you are in a relay race and one person's time is significantly below the other person's time, that we need to work on that. We need to get everybody on the same page. If we were going to go into business together and I said, I will contribute $50,000 to the business and you said, I will contribute $10 to the business, we're not going into business together. Because there's not that equal, you know, if we go into business together and I'm doing all the work and you never do anything, you're over there just counting bills, counting the money we've made. We can't go into business together because there needs to be a working together. There needs to be equal contributions. People need to pull their weight. But yet, according to the Bible, the kingdom is upside down in a lot of ways. To receive, you give, because it's better to give than to receive. If you want to be the top, then you've got to be the bottom. The Bible is full of these principles that are just upside down, and they really don't make sense. And in this scripture, the Bible starts off with this. Let me tell you how the kingdom operates. You see, there are principles that are a part of the kingdom that don't necessarily fit into our way of thinking. Our way of thinking is we should all contribute equal amounts, and we should all get in this together, and that's fine for life. But in our relationship with God, it is not like that. You don't contribute what God contributes. I don't know if you knew that or not. But his contribution to the relationship is of epic proportions greater than your contribution to the relationship. So Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. This is how things around here work. This is how the kingdom principles play out. And he begins to say this. A man begins to scatter seed. The word literally means throw, scatter, spread. A man spreads seed. He begins to spread seed. He spreads seed. And I love this next part. And then he sleeps. Don't you love that? Wow. A man scatters seed on the ground, and then at the Bible, the King James says, and then he goes to sleep. The New International Version says, whether he sleeps or whether he's up, the thing grows. The simplicity of this, the gospel, this is what the kingdom is like. The simplicity that your role, could it be that you've complicated your role in your life, your role in your own growth, your role in your church, your role in the kingdom? Could it be that your role in all of this is as simple as throwing something? The truth of the matter is, we can worry and be concerned about how is this going to work and how is this going to happen and how's this going to change and how's this going to grow, and we toil and we work and we toil and we work and we figure out and we stay up all night. I just love that the Bible says throw seed then go to sleep. Could it be that the answer is so simple as just throwing a seed? Could it be that all you need is a seed? Could it be that all you need, I don't know what problems you're facing today. I don't know what circumstances you're going through. I don't know what the issues are in your house. I don't know what the issues are in your life. But I promise you this, what you need is a seed. The Bible compares seeds to the Word of God. So we know that seed speaking is the Word of God. The Bible also talks as faith, like a mustard seed. We need a seed. How's this going to fix? How's this going to change? I just need a seed. Where do you get seed? You get seed from this. And if you are not reading the Bible on a consistent basis, you are losing your notes. If you are not reading the Bible on a regular basis, you do not have a good supply of seed. Let me say this. Nothing grows where nothing's planted. Getting the obvious. Nothing grows where nothing's been planted. And sometimes it's like, oh, I just want this to grow so bad. Well, grab a seed, throw that seed. All you need is a seed. Now, the really cool thing about this is that when the seed is thrown, like picture this. The seed is thrown, I'm going to bed. What do you mean you're going to bed? You got work to do. You got to do this. You know what? Throw the seed. And then whether you sleep or whether you're awake, it grows. How does it, but you mean like I don't make it grow? No, you can water that thing, you can plant that seed, but the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, that only God can make it grow. I don't know about you, but that lifts many burdens off of me. Only God makes it grow. Only God makes it grow. Only God brings change. You can do what you want, you can do what you know to do, but that's all you can do. At the end of the day, whether growth, miracles, change, and progress, and movement, and advance happens is so much more Him than us. I work with youth and young adults. I can't tell you how many times I've stayed awake at night, just worrying, wondering I've done something wrong. I didn't pray for that guy enough. I didn't say enough encouraging things to that girl. I didn't speak well enough, and I've worried, and I've thought to the point that it just wears you. Have you ever done that? Where you felt that the things that needed to be accomplished in your life, in your family, and in your faith have been so on you that the burdens of it just kind of wear you down, and you spend nights awake worrying, thinking, how can I do this? How can I do this? How can I do this? How is this going to happen? I just want to remind you that He is God alone, and we're not. There's a little thing that a lot of pastors have. It's called Savior complex. When the pastor believes he can be all things to all people and save you, oh, you're in trouble, just come to Super Pastor, I will help you. There's this. Savior complex. You know what? I'm not the Savior. I am absolutely, this is just hitting me recently. I am absolutely powerless to help anyone out of any addiction. I am absolutely helpless to help anyone out of an addiction. I am absolutely helpless to save anyone. I am absolutely helpless. I just have come to grips with my helplessness. I can't do it. I can't do it. But He can. And I need to depend and rely on the power of God. The Bible says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. You see, sometimes in the church we've had this misunderstanding that if we do certain things, then all the things that we want to happen will happen. We've been taught, and I think I've been a part of this bad teaching. If you only pray, if you only read your Bible, if you only fast, if you only go to church, if you give, if you do all these things, then growth is guaranteed. I'll tell you what, that's not the case. You can read every page on the Bible and have no growth. You could pray all day and have no growth. You could fast for weeks and have no growth. Now, some of us are talking about, I'm not against these things, but we need to recognize these things for what they are. These things, read your Bible and pray, that is not the goal. The goal is not to check it. The goal is a relationship with Jesus Christ. These things bring you to a place where that's possible. Have you ever been driving in your car, you've been talking to somebody and on your cell phone, and all of a sudden the call drops and they're gone, and you didn't hang up and they didn't hang up, but the call, has that ever happened to anyone? And then you're, oh man, that's weird, and you call them back, like, wow, that was weird, did you hang up? No, I didn't hang up. Did you hang up? No, I didn't hang up. Well, that was weird, yeah. And then so you're driving on the same stretch of road on another day, talking to another friend, and on that same stretch of road, what happens? That same place, on that same road, the phone goes what? Dead. And I believe they call these dead spots. There are spots, even though there's coverage all around, there are spots that you could actually lose service. I was in my office the other day downloading an application for my phone. And if you have to know the application, it was called the Bible. I was downloading the Bible for my phone. And I had my phone on the left side of my computer. And I'm looking at this thing, and it is taking forever to download. I mean, I'm looking at it going like, that is it? That's all it's downloaded. I mean, it's just words. It's not pictures, music, or movies. If it was pictures, movies, and music, it would take some time. But this is just words. This is just a document. And I'm waiting for it to download, and I'm looking at it going, this is taking forever. So I do some more stuff, look back. It is still not. I'm thinking, what is going on with this? So I picked it up. I put it on the other side of my computer. And I don't know, there must be this tiny little dead spot that's about this big on the left side of my computer where things don't download right. But I picked it up and I changed its position and now it can receive. That's like your relationship with God. The point is not changing your position. The point is changing your position so now you're in a position to receive. And so here's the thing. We've said read your Bible, pray, give, fast, all these things. And they're all wonderful. We are very much about these things. We believe that these are good things. But here's what happens. When you believe that your salvation and your growth and your change and everything good that's going to spiritually happen in your life is caught up in whether you do that or not, you put too much power in your own hands. You see, for those of us that believe that if we do these things, God loves us more, you're just really ticked off right now. But for those of you like me that fail every now and then, and I miss a day where I don't pray, I miss a day where I don't act entirely like I should, there is freedom. Because here's the thing. Let's go to the Bible. Let's read Philippians chapter 1. Chapter 1 verse 3 says this, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Then he says, verse 6, being confident of this. Now, I know that we all know some stuff. There's some stuff in your life that you can go, you know what, I think this is how it is, but I'm not really sure. But there's other stuff in your life that you are fully confident and fully persuaded that this is true. If I had to convince Alita that her name was not Alita, I couldn't do it. No amount of time could convince Alita that her name is not Alita. She knows that. She's confident of that. She's been persuaded because she knows that that's her name. She knows that this is her name. So that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, I am confident. I am fully persuaded. I know this. That he, get this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Who began the work? I did. No, you didn't. Who's going to keep the work going? I am. No, you're not. He is. Who's going to finish it? I am. No, you're not. He is. Because he's God alone. He is God alone. It is God who's working in you. Now, here's the cool thing. There's times in my life where I failed. There's times and everyone in this room has failed. You feel like you failed as a parent. You feel like you failed as a husband, as a wife. You feel like you failed as a child of God. Somewhere along the line, everyone in this room has encountered a failure. A spiritual failure is among a high failure. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do this because I love God so much. And then you get about 3 days into this commitment and you fail. And you feel bad, don't you? You feel like you let yourself down. You feel like you let God down. You feel like you let your pastor down. You just feel bad. Let me tell you something. Just because you miss a day doesn't mean he misses a day. We need to hear this. Just because you miss a day doesn't mean he misses a day. Do you know what the Bible says, Psalm 121? That the God of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. That the God who doesn't slumber or sleep, the Bible actually says, is watching over you. Can you see that? You can go to sleep because he's not asleep. He's up. Because he's awake, you can go to sleep. Yes, someone needs to watch over it. Yes, someone needs to do something. But that someone, more often than not, is not you. It's God. None of these things can make you grow. None of these things can make you grow. None of these things can help. They are just vehicles that bring you to a destination. God says, I'm the one that's going to complete it. Let's turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 says this. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith. Do you know what an author is? An author is a guy who wrote the story. Now, you're in the story, and you don't know what's going to happen. How many love a good story? How many love a good movie? And I'll tell you, one of the components of a great story and a great movie is tragedy. We hate to hear that in real life, but if a movie was as safe as we want our lives to be, we would never go to movies. The kind of safe, happy, comfortable life that sometimes we want, if that was made into a movie, we would never want to see it. But a great movie and a great story is one that is filled with sometimes barriers, complications, obstacles, and things that seem like, oh my goodness, how are they going to get out of this? And the Bible says that he is the author of your story. Not only the author of your story, not the author of your faith, but the finisher of your faith. Listen, church, God did not save you and call you to leave you hanging. Sometimes we feel, oh, God has given up on me. I've screwed up too many times. I've failed too many times. I've done too much. There's no way. Listen, God does not give up on you. Someone needs to hear that this morning. God does not give up on you. God does not give up on you. He started something, and he's going to finish. I think I have a lot of flaws, to be honest. I think one of my flaws is that I love to initiate and start, but I hate finishing. I can't finish. You have no idea how many half-written sermons there are on my computer. How many half-written songs are on my computer. I remember at certain points having a notion, I'd like to write a book. So go to my computer. Once upon a time. I think there's a file in my computer called Once Upon a Time. Because that's as far as I got. I mean, if you're depending on Ira, let me just clear stuff up. You're going to be disappointed. If you're depending on Pastor Al, you'll be disappointed. If you depend on any man at all, man, woman, relative, friend, if you depend on that human source, you will be disappointed. There will come a moment where they will cease to be there for you. There will be a moment where they fail you. There will be a moment where they mess up. But the thing is that God is going to finish you. God will not leave you. God will not forsake you. God is still working on you. God is still working on you. In thinking about this, I'm going to ask Debbie and the worship team to come back. In thinking about this, I've been struck by how my role is actually much smaller. Than I think it is. In my own life, and I can't speak for you because I don't know where you are, but in my life, I've taken too much of the responsibility of others, too much of the responsibility of even my own spiritual growth into my own hands, and not enough of it released to God. The Bible says, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. Now, you do have a part. All these things I mentioned earlier about prayer, read your Bible, fasting, all these things, these are things that are excellent to do. But let me encourage you, if you ever fail like me, if you ever miss a moment, if you ever wake up one morning and go, I missed again, can I encourage you to, number one, keep doing these things because they're good for you. But number two, smile. Because he's still working on me. Make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He, the God of the universe, is still working on me. God is still working on you. God is still working on you. God is still working on you. The scripture ends with this. The scripture ends with a man scatters seed and it grows. He's asleep. It ends with, this part ends with, and he doesn't know how. I believe that God wants to do some amazing and incredible things in your life. That when you look back and you go, how did that work out? How did that ever happen? How in the world did that situation ever, in your mind and in your logic and your thinking, you just go, how in the world is this going to happen? And then it works out and something happens and God moves and grace and love and peace and all these things come and you just, you go out. You know, you can't write a book because you actually don't know how it happened. The mystery and the wonder and the miracles of God. In thinking about this in closing, my relationship with God, my role in God, I think that for a while, I thought that my relationship with God and my role in God was a lot like a relay race. Where all participants run equal distances, have equal responsibility, participate in equal activities. And I run, then I pass it off to God, and He runs. And we do, we're in this together, it's a partnership, and my half, His half. And we are in partnership with God, no doubt about it. But you are not putting in what He is putting in. As I, in my mind, begin to think, God, what is this like? What really is my relationship with you like? Here's what I thought of. I think we've all seen this. Picture a basketball court. Picture a four-year-old can barely hold on to the ball. We've all seen this. Dad comes, lifts the boy up, puts him right up next to the rim. The four-year-old slam dunks the ball, and he goes, I did it! He's not tall enough. He's not strong enough. He's not coordinated enough. He is absolutely, completely impossible of getting that ball anywhere near the hoop. But that little guy just slam dunked the ball. Why? Because of the Father? Your relationship with God is a lot more like that than a relay race where it's equal. He does his part, you do your part, and there's this equal thing. Anything that you accomplish, any growth that you see, and anything that's happening that's good, any change that's happening, you know what? Yeah, you did your part. But God is doing His part. So my challenge this morning for you is whatever you're going through, maybe there's a situation in your life that keeps you up at night. Worry, stress, fear, not knowing what the future holds and all this doubt and there's all these things. Can I just encourage you to throw some seed? Throw the Word of God. What does that mean? Speak the Word of God. Fill your mind and your heart with the Word of God. And over those situations, speak from God's perspective. Speak from God's perspective. Speak the words that are from Him. Over your family. Speak the words that are from Him. Over your job, speak words that are from Him. Spread seed. I'm just such a firm believer that I really can't do anything anymore. And it's revolutionized my life, really. I used to toil and labor and, you know, agonize. What should I preach? It better be good. Ah! Oh! And now I just realize, you know what? I'm just a thrower of seed. I'm just going to get up this morning and throw some seed. Just going to throw some seed. The pressure that is not a part of my life now. I got to do this and I got to do that. No, you don't. Throw seed. Throw seed. Be faithful. Get seed, throw seed. Then go to sleep. Some of you just need a good night's sleep so bad. I think that resonates with a lot of us. We're going to move into communion. And as we do, I want to read a scripture. I'm going to ask those that are helping with communion to come and stand at the front, get ready to serve. We're talking about His role in all of this. Let me read this to you, Colossians 2, verse 13. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature, was not yet cut away. Check it out. So this is what you came up with. So all your works, all your striving, all your hard work, this is what it accomplished for you. You ready? You were dead. That's what you accomplished. All your efforts. What did it accomplish? You were dead. And then it says, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins, and he canceled the record of charges against us, and he took it away, nailing it on a cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on a cross. Do you see your role? I was just dead. I couldn't do anything. And he made you alive, and he forgave your sins, and he rescued you, and he canceled the charges. We know that the list against every one of us, that list is of charges, is so long. And he canceled it. If that doesn't make you say praise God, I don't know what will. Because if God didn't cancel that code, if God didn't cancel those charges against you, you know what you'd be? You'd be guilty. But he canceled it, and it's done. And you did nothing to earn it. So if you're trying to earn grace, stop. If you're trying to attain salvation and growth by works, don't. Because it is God who's working in you. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would understand and realize, Lord, that you are the God who causes things to grow. You are the God who accomplishes in us your great purposes. You are the God, Lord, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. You're the God who's not going to leave us stranded. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Debbie and the team are going to lead us in worship. We're going to distribute the emblems for communion. And then we're going to take together.